This episode of the Profit Express is brought to you by Corbett Public Relations, promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. Please visit them at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. CorbettPR.com. Please visit them. Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I am Tim Healy, and I'm inviting you, that's right, you, to join me each and every week so together we can win the battle for business. So thanks for sharing some of your time. Thanks for being on board the show. And as you know, I really like to start the show off by asking you a question. So today's question, what was the last business book that you read to help grow your business? Maybe it's a book on sales, marketing, management, branding, finance, and the list goes on. So what was that last book that you read to help grow your business? Here's another question we can have some fun with today. What was your favorite business book of all time? Now, I actually get asked that question a lot, and it's changed over the years. It really has. For the longest time, when I first started out in business, like so many entrepreneurs, I read Think and Grow Rich. Okay, that was by Napoleon Hill, if you haven't already read it. And it's my favorite, and it's still one of my favorites, but it's my favorite for a very long time. Now, the great benefit of having the show The Profit Express is the access I have to some amazing best-selling authors. And I got some great relationships with publishers who are really just keeping me in the know of what are those great books that are coming out. Now, what I want to do with you today is share with you, in no particular order, a great stack of books. Look at this stack of books here. Look at this. This is terrific. All right? These are the books I'm going to be talking about today. And some of these books were written over 20 years ago. Some are certainly a lot more recent. But they've all had a big impact on me. So we're going to go through each of these books. I'm going to have some fun, do some quotes, and share with you what I got out of those books. Now, but before we do that, I was promoting the show on social, on Instagram, which is at The Profit Express. If you want to follow me on Instagram, at The Profit Express. Twitter is at Profit_Express. And I just threw out the question, what's your favorite business book? And I actually got quite a few responses. So I want to share a few with some friends, with some clients actually too as well. Here are a few. The first one, Stephanie Pagano. One of her favorites is, and I haven't heard of this one actually. Maybe you have. Manage Your Day. And the subtitle is Build Your Routine, Find Your Focus, Sharpen Your Creative Mind. And that's thanks to Stephanie Pagano, Manage Your Day. I'm going to have to check that one out. Then we have Bob Haycoop from Colorado. And he likes a very interesting book I've also read, Traction by Gino Wickman. And that's actually a very in-depth book on processes and management. And that's Traction by Gino Wickman and our friend Bob Haycoop. Thank you, Bob. And another favorite we have, Andrew Capiello. And he shared one of his favorites is Extreme Ownership, Jocko Willink. Really good book. If you don't know Jocko Willink, you should follow him. Former U.S. Navy SEAL. He's got a couple of books out now. Very interesting read. Karen Suero. One of her favorites is one I'm going to be discussing today, Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. Great book on negotiation. We're going to talk about that in a little while. Thank you, Karen. And then I have Teresa Cardassano, and she has one of the classics of all time, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, of course, by Stephen Covey. So thanks for everybody for sharing what their favorites are. And again, if you want to follow me on Instagram, it's at The Profit Express. Twitter is Profit Express at Profit_Express. Sorry about that. Okay. So here we go. And again, no particular order. But the first book I want to share with you, E-Myth Revisited. Now, I read this book, again, it's by Michael Gerber, E-Myth Revisited. I read this book when I was starting out in business. And like many people who have read the book that I've spoken to about having read it, when you read the book as an entrepreneur, you get the sense that Michael Gerber is actually talking specifically to you. It's a little creepy, actually. And so here's some of the big ideas in the book. Essentially, every small business owner is three personalities. You're the entrepreneur, you're the manager, and the technician. Now, the entrepreneur is the one with the ideas, the one who's following the bright, shiny objects. And then you've got the manager, that's the person who's all about the processes, obviously. And the technician, that's the person who's rolling up their sleeves and they're doing the busy work. You know, they're making the cakes, they're doing the tax returns. So the problem with this, and it was so eye-opening, because we all are part entrepreneur, we are part manager and part technician. The challenge with this is each of those three people wants to be the boss, but then none of them want to have a boss. So that really gets you thinking, how are you running your business? And certainly one of the favorite, or famous rather, quotes in the book that he speaks about is, and he's asking this really as a question, are you working on your business or are you working in your business? So think about that. Are you going to your business and really just acting more like an employee than a business owner? And again, I read this book when I first started out about 20 years ago, and it really, really got me thinking. And the book has sold millions of copies. It has 16 different editions. There's E-Myth Revisited. There's E-Myth for the entrepreneur. E-Myth for the accountant, the optometrist, the list goes on. And one of the great other questions that he asks you to get you thinking is, how do you build a business that works without you? Let me repeat that. How do you build a business that works without you? And that's a really tough question. But if you can answer that, if you have an answer, and certainly Michael Gerber discusses that in E-Myth, Entrepreneur's Myth, he gives you his version of how to get there. And he's got a lot of great ideas. But if you can create that sort of a process for yourself, where you can step away from your business for not just a week or 2 weeks, but a month, 2 months, or more, and your business continues to work and thrive and be successful and be profitable without you, then you know you've arrived. Then you know you actually have a business that can exist without you. So that was the first book I want to share with you. Again, the books today are books that have had an impact on me. I'm not going to say that that was my favorite. Again, that list changes. And a year, 2 years from now, there's going to be some different books. But again, these are all books that have had a profound impact on me in one way, shape, or another. And again, E-Myth, Michael Gerber, if you haven't read it already and you are an entrepreneur, you're thinking of becoming one, strongly recommend it. Again, every book on the list, by the way, every book on the list is a must-read book, okay? The next book I'd like to share, and I'm doing all the talking today, so I got some water for me here. The next book that I want to share is Likeable Social Media, right here. Let me get a good shot of that. Likeable Social Media by Dave Kirpin. He's a very interesting individual. He's a serial entrepreneur. If you're not already following him on social media, you certainly should. I think he's basically a Dave Kirpin for a lot of his handles. And I was introduced to his book in 2011. And in 2011, I was participating. I'll say I was participating in social media. I was pretty active, but I got to be honest, I really didn't know a lot of what I was doing. I was there. I was posting. I wasn't taking advantage of it. That's safe to say. Now, again, this book was actually written, again, Likeable Social Media, Dave Kirpin, is written in 2011. And certainly a ton has changed since then, no doubt. But Dave, for me, explained social media and the power that it is better than anybody. And so much of the principles that he talked about in 2011 still apply today to being a really good manager, if you're that business owner, if you're that sales professional, to being a manager of your brand and really effectively using your social media presence. And what I want to do, I want to read here, And I'll never forget this story that Dave shared in the book. It was in the introduction. And I never thought or realized the power that social media had until I read this story. And essentially, I'm going to kind of paraphrase it. So he was checking into the Aria Hotel in Vegas after a six-hour flight. So like any of us who just gets off a plane after 6 hours, you're tired. And he was waiting in a long line, and he's online for an hour. Wasn't very happy, obviously. So he tweets out, and what does he say? This is what he tweets. He says, "No Vegas hotel could be worth this long of a wait. Over an hour to check in at Aria." And it was one of those hot hotels at the time. So he tweets, and he stays in line, and he's waiting. Two minutes later, he sees a tweet from another competitive hotel, the Rio Hotel. Now, what you might be thinking, okay, if you're a business owner and you see somebody who's clearly not happy, you think, wow, I have an opportunity to sell, let me pounce. No. So they could have said something like, well, hey, come on over, we have no line, right? But the Rio Hotel did not say that. This is what they said instead, and this is what really, really opened my eyes to the power of social media. What they said to Dave, what they tweeted to Dave, was, "Sorry about the bad experience, Dave. Hope the rest of your stay in Vegas goes well." Wow. So instead of going for the blatant offer, hey, come on over here, we'll give you 20% off, they didn't. They didn't bang him on the head. They just said, hey, sorry, it's not going great. Hope the rest of your stay is better. So he retweets it. He's got a huge following. Not only does he retweet it, but he tells the story several times. I'm telling the story again now. Think about that power. And he's also, at the time, he had recommended a number of people stay at the hotel. And one of them, I think, was a friend who ended up bringing 10 family members. So in reading his book, the light really went on for me. And again, so much has changed in social media in the 10 years since the book was written. But it's really your mindset as a business owner, as a marketer, as to how you can really effectively use social media. And he compared it. One of the analogies that also stuck with me is, you know, hey, social media is like the world's largest cocktail party that everybody has access to. And also, for the first time in history, it gave consumers the loudest and the strongest and the biggest voice that they've ever had before. Think about that. You're not happy with something. You have a bad customer service experience. What are you doing? You're going online. You're going to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You're talking about it. And because social media gives consumers that great, powerful voice, it also shifts things for business owners. It shifts things for brands and companies. Now, they have to be, which is a good thing, and this is what Dave talks about, they have to be more authentic. They have to be transparent. They have to be really good listeners. And that's key. That's one of the things he's really talking about in the book, and also being responsive. So in a good way, it put everybody on alert as far as if you're a business, and that, you know what, you really got to do the right thing. And not only do you have to, but you should be doing the right thing. That's how you build the brand. And social media made it a great equalizer for consumer and for businesses alike. But again, that was a book for me that had an impact because, again, I was dabbling in social media at the time. I was making tons of mistakes. I still probably make plenty of mistakes. But it just showed me how to do it right, how not to smash people over the head with sales, offers, so on and so forth. It's not about that. It's about having a conversation, reaching out, sharing good content, sharing value, sharing some humor, trying to build a relationship, showing value first, before you go for the ask. So again, Likeable Social Media, Dave Kirpin, great book. Again, must read, of course, right here on the Profit Express. So again, today, thank you for listening. I'm Tim Healy. What was the last book that you read to help grow your business? Book on sales, marketing, branding, entrepreneurship, negotiation, finance, whatever it is. What was that last book? And if you haven't read a book recently, well, it's a good thing that you're watching. It's a good thing that you're listening today, because I'm sharing six of my favorites. Okay. Again, I can't put them in order. That's too tough of a question. A lot of people ask me, what was my favorite of all time? I don't even know if I can answer that. Like I said earlier, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, when I start out, powerful book. But these books that I'm sharing with you today have had a profound impact. And that's why I'm doing it, to help you grow your business, to help you win the battle for business. So next up, we have, this is an interesting one, really, really good, Napoleon Hill, Truthful Living. Napoleon Hill, Truthful Living. It's not Think and Grow Rich. Napoleon Hill, Truthful Living. As you can see, Jeffrey Gittimer. So this is what happened. Again, Napoleon Hill wrote Think and Grow Rich. A couple of years ago, the Napoleon Hill Foundation came across original writings from 1919. So now it's over 100 years old, okay, from Napoleon Hill. And they reached out to Jeffrey Gittimer, okay? And if anybody of you know, his best-selling author, he's written, I don't know how many books, one of the top speakers in the world of personal branding, marketing, sales, of course. And they reached out to Jeffrey. And they wanted Jeffrey to kind of edit and annotate the writings from Napoleon Hill, kind of update them, if you will, for the 21st century. And that's what he did. So I had him on the show, I think about a year and a half ago, to discuss this book. And essentially, the book has 23 life lessons, if you will. And two of the life lessons that are my favorite are what I want to share with you. So the first life lesson was number 11, which is the law of harmonious attraction. The law of harmonious attraction. I'm going to go to the book here for this one. Okay. Very simply, the law of harmonious attraction states that you get exactly what you give. Think about that. You get exactly what you give. So if you are negative, you will get back negativity. If you're positive, you will get back positivity. If you help people, if you are helpful, you will draw and you will attract that back into your life. We get exactly what we give. If you want favors, bestow favors. Think about that. If you want favors, bestow favors. How can you help somebody first? So that was the first one for me, one of my favorites in the book. Again, the book, Truth of Living, edited and annotated by Jeffrey Gittimer. That was number 11. Number 12, this one I had a lot of fun with. That one is How to Sell Yourself and Your Services. So let me go to number 12. You're going to like this one. How to Sell Yourself and Your Services. Now, Napoleon Hill said, one of his quotes in the book was, if you're not in a line of business that will stand a higher price for the kind of work you are performing, you know the remedy. Get out and get into some other business. So if you're not in a line of business that will pay your price, you're in the wrong business, essentially. Get out. So now in this life lesson, number 12, How to Sell Yourself and Your Services, what Jeffrey does, and I loved it, he actually shares one of his own personal experiences. He was on a flight in 1996 to Dallas, Texas. And lo and behold, on the same flight, sitting next to him, was his publisher, Mark Etheridge, from the Business Journal. And so they get up to chatting, and Mark asks him, hey, Jeffrey, what's your speaking fee this year? What are you charging? And Jeffrey had just raised it from $5,000 to $6,000. So all proud, Jeffrey says, well, I'm charging $6,000 now. I was just charging $5,000 last year. I raised it. So Mark Etheridge looks at him and says, so you're only 20% better? And this is Jeffrey Gittimer. So Gittimer kind of realizes what just happened. And he stammered and says, I don't know. And Etheridge says, and this is a beautiful line, and I want to make sure everybody listening Here's this one. When it comes to what you charge, your fee, your value, Etheridge tells Gittimer, your fee is in your head. Your fee is in your head. So if you're a sales pro out there and you're not making the commission you want to make, if you're a business owner and you're not charging what you want to be charging, whose fault is that? Whose fault is that? Think about that. You're creating the value. Your fee is in your head. How are you going to share that value to your customers, to your prospects? So then what he does, so then Jeffrey, after his trip, returns from Dallas, and he immediately raised his fee from $6,000 to $7,500. And again, this is 1996. From $6,000 to $7,500. P.S., as he says in the book, that year he gave 100 speeches. And he just gave himself a $150,000 raise. Think about that. So that was Napoleon Hill, Truthful Living, edited and annotated by Jeffrey Gittimer, who I've had on the show a couple of times. You can't go wrong with anything that Jeffrey writes. But again, that to me was a great, very unique book. Again, Napoleon Hill Foundation coming up and finding some original writings from Napoleon Hill, bringing in the modern day Jeffrey Gittimer to edit and annotate it, share some of his experiences. The book is filled with all sorts of Gittimer's own life lessons and experiences and how they relate to Napoleon Hill's teachings, which makes it a very, very interesting read. Recommend that. And I got a shout out again for my classic Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill himself. All right. Now, this next one, to me, again, I've read lots of books. I'm sharing my favorites with you. And sometimes when you can read a lot of books out there, it almost sounds like the stories sound the same. The analogies sound the same after a while. And the publisher had sent me this book, this next book, Rare Breed. Okay? Rare Breed by Sonny Bunnell and Ashley Hansberger. Rare Breed. Even the covers. Look at the cover. The cover's beautiful. That alone, I'd buy the book. So, what is this book all about? This, to me, really speaks to the entrepreneur. Are you tired of playing it safe? That's exactly what Sonny and Ashley were faced with. You see, they wanted to start their own digital and branding agency. So they decided to quit school with no experience other than what they learned in school and with $250 start their own digital and branding agency. And what they did when they first started is they went and they looked at the establishment, okay? The agencies that have been there for years. And they soon realized that these agencies and what they were producing for their customers was tired and boring and conservative and vanilla. And they decided to blow up ordinary. They decided to go to war with ordinary. And so they came up with a marketing campaign. And this was back when people were still using the Yellow Pages. And they started a business in South Carolina. And they came up with a paper garbage can. And they mailed it out to the local business community. And when they mailed it out to the local business community, it says, trash the ordinary. Because in their gut, Sonny and Ashley knew that businesses wanted more than just the typical, than just the ordinary. So they had this campaign. They rolled the dice on it. They sent it out to the local community. And they started to get a couple of phone calls. And it was actually a dentist who wanted to do something out of the ordinary. So they started to get some clients. But it wasn't easy in the beginning because they were fighting the establishment. It wasn't easy in the beginning because while companies were looking for something different, something out of the ordinary, they weren't used to it. Okay? So they had to do a lot of how shall I say, educating the marketplace. And that's not a very easy thing to be able to do. So they were kind of struggling. It was an uphill battle. And then there was a quote, and I want to read the quote for you right here. Let me get to this quote. And again, you're a business owner. You know it. The people who are closest to you, family and friends, they don't like to see you struggle. And when you struggle, they say, oh, you know, why don't you go back to that old job? Or maybe you should just play it safe. Don't be so crazy. And it was actually, let me read here for you, folks. Sonny's dad, who was one of their biggest fans and greatest mentors. And this is the quote that he read that prevented them from quitting and that changed the course of their history. He said, you too are a rare breed. Not everyone will love you. Some may hate you. But the ones who get you will never forget you. Now dust yourselves off and get back in the saddle. So when they were feeling sorry for themselves, which is easy to understand, and they're almost about to quit, it was their dad, Sonny's dad, I should say, who gave them just the kick that they needed. So they go through a number of vices in the book, things like rebellion, things like audacity and obsession, being weird. And they don't think that they're vices, but they're actually virtues to embrace. And I think so many entrepreneurs have a willingness to be obsessive in a good way, or to be audacious, or to be really creative, but they hold back, they're too conservative. And the big breakthrough for them was they ended up realizing that business leaders, owners, have a real passion. And what they did in their agency was marry the passion of the leader, of the founder, with the brand. And all of a sudden, things clicked, and all of a sudden, things took off. Now they're an award-winning agency. They have offices in Dallas. They have offices in New York. They have some huge clients, 20th Century Fox, USA Today, to name a couple, Ernest and Julio Gallo Winery. So they went from very humble beginnings. They went from bucking the trend, declaring a war on the ordinary, to being an award-winning agency. Now, when you read this book, there's so many examples of rare breeds in all different industries that you can learn from. And it was a fun book. It was a book that got you thinking, especially as an entrepreneur, because, and I've been guilty of this myself, when you get a certain level of success, you kind of camp a little bit, all right? You're feeling good. Oh, should I try that new product? Should I try the new service? Should I push the envelope? Should I push the needle? I don't know. Ashley and Sonny got me thinking. They will get you to think. Because this world, and I was just talking about Dave Kirpin with Likeable Social Media. Social media, we know the world of social media. And one of the challenges of social media is there's a lot of voices out in the world of social media. And it is getting very hard for all of us, all brands, to compete and to stand out. And that's really, as I read the book, that's what I got from it. You want to be that rare breed. You want to stand out. And you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And they truly were. And it was tough in the beginning. Like I said, they almost quit. They almost quit. But they embraced their inner rare breed. And you can and you should too. So again, rare breed, Sonny and Ashley. Make sure you get it. This is the Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy. And today's episode is brought to you by Corbett Public Relations, promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. Please check them out. You can go to CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. CorbettPR.com. And they're sponsoring this episode. Well, welcome. This is Tim Healy. I'm Tim Healy. This is the Profit Express. And I want to share with you some of my favorite business books that have had a huge impact on me. And I always like to ask questions. Questions hold us accountable. Questions get us thinking. So what was the last book that you read, okay, to help grow your business? Book on sales, marketing, digital branding. Was it something on accounting to help you better understand your finances and understand the books? Was it a book on negotiating? And if you haven't read a book in a while, maybe you should. And if you don't know what book to read, well, I've been talking about a lot of my favorites today. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a little bit of a rewind. The first book I spoke about today, E-Myth, Michael Gerber, millions of copies sold. E-Myth stands for Entrepreneur's Myth. And he talks about, are you working on your business or in it? And he helps you go through the process and figure out how you can create a business that can operate and succeed without you working in it day in and day out. Great book. When I read that book, it just got me absolutely thinking that the book was written for me. So that was the first one I share with you. The next one, Likeable Social Media, Dave Kirpin, another great book. Dave, very interesting, best-selling author, great guy to follow on social media. Talking about the power of social media, how important it is for business owners and people who manage brands, sales professionals, to be authentic, to be genuine, to be a great storyteller, to listen. Because now more than ever, consumers have the biggest, most powerful voice they've ever had. And you as a business owner have to realize that and realize how you can embrace social media. Not to sell, but to create relationships. Not to sell, but to tell stories. Not to sell, but to connect. Not to sell, but rather to give value. And if you do all of that, then you know what? They come to you. They see your value. They understand your value. So Dave did a great job writing that book and sharing really what it means to be likable on social media. And then I talked about Napoleon Hill and Truthful Living. Let me get my hand out of the way. And it was a very interesting read. The Napoleon Hill Foundation found original writings 100 years ago, and they reached out to Jeffrey Gitomer. He annotated and edited it for the 21st century. And some of my favorite lessons from that book, Law of Harmonious Attraction. You get what you give. Think about that. You get what you give. And then I just spoke about Rare Breed, which to me, if you're playing it safe, stop playing it safe. And I've been guilty of it too. And sometimes it frustrates you because, you know, if you've gotten to a level again as an entrepreneur that you're successful, and you do I really want to shake the boat? Do I really want to rattle the foundation? But I think you have to. And the book Rare Breed is absolutely chock full of amazing ideas on how you can do it. Okay, up next. Okay. This book, now I've read a number of books on negotiating. Getting to Yes is one of the classics. But the next book, and again, so far I've had all of these authors on the show. One of them coming up a little while, I did not have on. I'll tell you who he is in just a sec. But the next book is Never Split the Difference, Chris Voss. Never Split the Difference, Chris Voss. Okay. Chris Voss is a former head of FBI hostage negotiating. He would take care of and manage and be in charge of all of hostage negotiations around the world. And a lot of us have probably read and heard about, you want to do a win-win. You want to split the difference. You want to get to yes. And one of the interesting and funny scenarios that Chris Voss shared in the book was, you know, as a hostage negotiator, if a terrorist has four hostages, I really can't go to that person, that terrorist that has the four hostages, and say, listen, let's split the difference. I'll take two. You can kill two. Think about that. Now, he says in the book, you have to negotiate like your life depends on it. Now, in his world, lives literally did depend on it. So for the rest of us, who are just negotiating contracts and deals and sales. If we lose one, unfortunately, but thankfully, nobody's going to lose their life. But here's the thing. In the 80s, and this is what Chris talks about, a lot of the mindset of negotiation theory and tactics and what they were teaching in the schools was negotiating is an economic exchange. You want to get the best value. That person wants to get the best value. How do we kind of meet in the middle and make everybody happy? But the big idea in Chris's book was an idea called cognitive bias. Now, that's something all humans suffer from. And what does cognitive bias mean? Essentially, it's the unconscious and irrational brain process that we all have that distorts the way we see things. So really, what you have to realize, negotiating is all about the emotion. It's not about the logic of it. It's not about the economics of it. And what he talks about, which a lot of us is counterintuitive for a lot of us, is getting to know. Because for human beings, we want to feel comfortable. When we're in a negotiation, we want to feel comfortable, right? This is what Chris talks about in his book, again, Never Split the Difference, Chris Voss. When you say no, I'm not going to do that. No, I don't want to buy that. No, that's not for me. You've given yourself a defense. You feel comfortable. And Chris is saying at no is really where the negotiation begins. So it's okay to get to that point. Actually, you want to get to that point. You have to get to that point. And then another key that he talks about in the book, you have to give the illusion that the other party is in control. The key to winning a negotiation is to get the other party to feel that they're in control. So it's not about splitting the difference. It's not about a win-win. It's all about understanding how emotion plays a powerful, powerful role in negotiation. And from my perspective, if it can work in hostage negotiations, it can work in my business and your business, that's for sure. And again, that one was Never Split the Difference, Chris Voss. All right, so what is your favorite business book? I get asked that question a lot. It's a hard question. For a long, long time, it's shifted. It was Think and Grow Rich, still one of my classic favorites, Napoleon Hill. But I tell you, it's so hard to, you know, talk about what is my favorite. Because being the host of the show, I've been blessed. I've gotten access to, I have relationships with great publishers, and I've had access to some amazing, amazing best-selling authors. And so I keep getting what I think is going to be my latest and greatest and newest favorite. So I've shared with you, what do we have? 5 so far of ones that have really had a big impact on me. And listen, if you pick one and if you read one, then hey, today's show was worth it. And I know that you're listening, you're watching, there's going to be one of these books that you're going to pick up and you're going to read. So up next. Now, this book is the one author and the one book that I did not have on the show. This one is, let me get it in there, Jesse Itzler. He's the author, Living with a Seal. Now, this book came out in, I believe it was 2015. A client told me about it. He's like, Tim, you heard about this book, Living with a Seal? I said, no, he's got Jesse Itzler. He's fantastic. Okay. So who is Jesse Itzler, if you don't already know? He is a classic serial entrepreneur. He created, he was co-founder of Marquee Jets that he ended up selling to Berkshire Hathaway. He also, if that wasn't enough, pioneered coconut water and the fad with coconut water and the craze with coconut water and sold Zico coconut water to Coca-Cola. Also a co-owner, one of the owners in Atlanta Hawks with his wife, and his wife is Sarah Blakely from Spanx, founder of Spanx. And so here's the story. So he actually, like I said, a client of mine recommended a number of years ago, hey, did you read Living with the Seal? No. And I didn't pick it up. I didn't read it. So it wasn't until this past November that another client of mine mentioned it. And I said, oh yeah, I've heard a lot about that book. I've been meaning to read it. And the next day, Amazon shows up at my doorstep. My client got me the book as a gift. So this is this past November, November 2020. I read this book. Man, wow. And it was a great, great book. It was a fun read. It was an awesome read. Now, when he wrote the book, he said living with a seal. He never identified the seal in the book. The seal has since come out. The seal, David Goggins. And if you don't know David Goggins, know David Goggins. Follow David Goggins. You can certainly follow him on Instagram, Twitter, etc. Just a truly, truly remarkable individual. So this is what happened. Jesse Itzler was at an endurance race in San Diego, and it was a relay race running, I think it was 24 hours. But you had a relay team, and on his team, he was one of six. So you'd have... you'd be running for a portion of time, then you'd switch off, and then you'd be drinking and resting in between. And he noticed that there's this one individual who is sitting by himself, and he didn't have anybody else to run with. He was running the 24 hours. And while Jesse Itzler and the rest of his friends on the team, they had their waters, their goos, their gels, all the equipment that they needed. This guy, the SEAL, for 24 hours had water and a box of crackers. Now, Jesse Itzler, again, serial entrepreneur, great hustler. He's like, who is this guy? So he finds out about him, finds out he's a Navy SEAL, and he reaches out to him. And he gets the idea because, again, he's super successful. Jesse Itzler's been working out for years, run tons of marathons, New York City Marathon, I think it's like 18 times, many, many times. He gets this idea to have, he approaches Goggins with the idea, the SEAL, says, listen, I want you to come live with me for a month. I want you to train me. Goggins is like, really? All right, one condition. It's just like, what? You do everything I say. No exceptions, everything. So Itzler in the book, he's okay. All right, let's do it. So they arrange it. He shows up. He's got no luggage. He just shows up. He has shorts and a t-shirt, the SEAL. He's ready to go. So what happens in the book, again, the book Living with the SEAL, let me get my hand out of the way, Jesse Itzler. Goggins takes him through each day an insane amount of physical activity and workouts, push-ups. I think they did, yeah, he gave a tally at the end of the book, push-ups. He did 6,488 push-ups in that month, that 30 days. They ran 222 miles all total. That's a lot of miles in a month. They did 236 pull-ups. They did all sorts of crazy stuff. At one point, he and Itzler are up in a home they had up in Connecticut at the time, and there was a lake frozen over. It's wintertime. Goggins gets the idea. He's like, here, come follow me. And there was, and what's made this story so amazing, there was no prep, there was no nothing. It was like spontaneous, spur of the moment. He goes out, he takes his boulder, and he starts bashing through the ice in this frozen lake behind Jesse's house. And he clears out enough space and he jumps in the freezing water. And he gets out and he tells Itzler, you got to get in. He's like, what are you kidding me? He's like, we're going to die. He's like, you got to do it. Let's do it. Goes in, shivering, gets him out. As the story goes, his wife saw all this happen. Sarah's looking, saying, what are these two, you know, nut jobs doing jumping in a frozen lake? So then Sarah asks SEAL, what was the benefit of this? Is there some medical benefit? He's like, no. He's just testing to see what he's made of. So here's one of my favorite stories in the book. SEAL followed Itzler on, again, he was with him for an entire month, 24 hours, 7 days a week for an entire month. So he was following Jesse on all of his business meetings. One of them, he had to go up to Boston for a particular meeting. And they thought they were going to be there and back in a day. They didn't think they were going to do an overnight. Turns out the weather turns really bad again. It's wintertime. And again, they're doing this running. It's 18 degrees, 24 degrees. So there's one trip to Boston. Airport's closed. They got to stay overnight in a hotel. So before the night ends, they go for a run, usually doing about 4-6 mile runs, and go to sleep. Next morning, Seal knocks on the door and says, all right, let's get going. Got to run. Let's do it. And I got to read this one for you. This is classic. Jesse says to Seal, Seal, I have a problem. I didn't bring any extra underwear. So Seal says, so what? And Jesse says, well, I can't run without underwear. And then Seal responds, no, bro, you can't run without legs. It's on. So Jesse's whole idea from the very beginning of this venture was to push himself because he had fallen into a rut. He had fallen into a routine. Even though he's hugely successful, he is smart enough to realize that ruts can be dangerous. And we all fall into them. Every single one of us falls into them. We might be in one right now. But he had a super creative idea. He saw this guy, the SEAL, who we now know as David Goggins, running a 24-hour team relay race by himself. He says, I got to get in touch with this guy. I want this guy to live with me for a month. I want him to push me. I want him to set new boundaries for me, to help me dig deep, to break the routine, to break the monotony. And that's what he did. So I just read this book, Living with the SEAL, this past November. And again, as November of 2020, we're coming off the crappy year that is the pandemic. We're still living it. And I decided, so I you can't read a book like this, right? You can't read a book like this and not do something. So I finished reading the book. It was like at the end of November. And I try to stay, I'm in pretty good physical shape. I like working out, love running. It helps me think, allows me to be creative, I like pushing myself. And I do a good amount of push-ups. And I thought to myself, how many push-ups could I do in the month of December? Right? How many push-ups could I do in the month of December? So starting December 1st, I challenged myself to do 200 push-ups a day for 6,000 for the month. Now, again, in his log in the book, Jesse did 6,488. Honestly, I wasn't interested in, you know, beating his 6,488, but I said, let me do 6,000. I've never done 6,000. Never came close to it. Maybe in a month I'd do 1,000, maybe. Never really kept track of it. So I started. I kept track every day, 200 a day. And I even mentioned it on Facebook. I wanted to put myself out there, have my friends hold me accountable, right? So the first 1,000, 5 days in, not so bad, felt pretty good. 10 days in, second 1,000. All right, starting to feel a little bit, still feeling good, no problem. 15 days in, I get to number 3,000. Ugh, it is getting tougher and tougher. Then I'm getting to 4,000 and 5,000. And I originally started off with doing 5 sets of 40 a day. And then I started doing a set of 40, then a set of 30, then 2 sets of 20. But whatever I had to do, however I had to make it up, I got to the 200 each and every day for the 30 days. And I made it, and I got to 6,010. For whatever reason, I threw on an extra 10. So Jesse's book, thank you, Jesse. Thanks, Dave. Living with the SEAL inspired me to push. And it inspired me to feel comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I want to go back to the book. One of the early quotes from David Goggins, SEAL. Let me get to it. I think I can. Okay, here it is, right in the beginning. He says this. And this is SEAL David Goggins. Every day do something that makes you uncomfortable. Now think about it. Even though 2020, we're now in 2021, was a horrible year for so many, a lot of us have a lot of comfort in this world, thankfully. Not everybody, but a lot of us. And it's very easy to fall victim of routine and to fall victim of comfort. And I tell you, by the time I got to that last 1,000, I was feeling it. It was painful, but I did it. To me, it's just a great reminder, something I can go back to and remember. 6,000 push-ups I did in a month. Not bad. Not bad. So I wanted to share with you today books that have had a big impact on my business. Big impact personally as well. And if you're a business owner, you're an entrepreneur, that world of personal and professional, that could be gray. That could be murky sometimes. You got to be working on both who you are as a person and who you are as a professional, who you are as a business owner. So these are just 6 books that I share with you today. Again, I've had the fortune of interviewing all of them with the exception of Jesse Itzler. So Jesse, if you're listening, love to have you on. There's so much to talk about. Certainly we could talk about Living with the Seal. So if you haven't read a book recently, now again, I'm old school. As you can see, I have all the books here, right? I read books. I study books. I underline books. I don't do audio. That's just me. But read a book. Listen to a book. Whatever you got to do, but get the ideas. And these books, if one of these books has piqued your curiosity and there's a lot to choose from, choose one. I don't care. Or if something else piques your curiosity, go online, do a search, but read, get some different thought into your head for your business. Get exposure to people and ideas and mindsets that you haven't had exposure to help grow your business, because this is the Profit Express. And I do my best for you and everybody listening and watching to win that battle for business every day. And it is a battle. And I don't say that in a negative way, but you got to go out there and you got to carve it out of stone sometimes. You know it. I know it. So let's be real. And you need to give yourself as many options and resources as possible. Hey, Profit Express is one. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. But these great books that so many people have written from so many great experiences is another that I wanted to share with you today. And again, I'm trying to nudge you to read a book, get out there. And listen, share with me. What are your favorites? You can follow me on Instagram at The Profit Express. Love to hear from you. Share with me a favorite. Also on Twitter at Profit_Express. Either way, Twitter, Instagram, love to hear from you. Love to hear what your favorite book is and why it's your favorite book. So here, you've heard 6 of my best. A year from now, I'm probably going to have another 6 favorites because the great content keeps coming. So thank you so much for listening today to The Profit Express. And until next time.